In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the Epistle to the Hebrews, St. Paul tells us about how Christ, the great high priest, came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, took on our human nature, and then lived the life that we could never live, but died the death that our sins merited us, rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he says that this great high priest calls on us to hold fast to our profession of faith. He was writing to Jewish believers who were at a time of persecution. And some of them were falling away. Some of them were going back to Judaism. And he was trying to impress upon them the fact that Christ was superior to the things that were in the Old Testament because the things in the Old Testament pointed to Christ. And now we have the fulfillment, so why would you go back to the things that pointed to that? But the temptation was that Judaism was a recognized religion in the Roman Empire, and so Jews were not compelled to offer sacrifice. Jews were not persecuted, except when they were rebelling against the Romans, but as long as they behaved themselves, the Romans left them alone. And so it was tempting to a Jewish Christian to just start drifting back to Judaism and not identify with Christ. We're near the midpoint of the fast, and the church puts this epistle before us because if we put forth the effort so far that we should have put into the fast, in our preparation for the fast, it's tempting at a certain point to start to slack off, to start to lose that zeal. But the cross is put before us because we need to be reminded of what Christ has done for us and all that he endured for us. Life is difficult, and we're beset by many trials and difficulties, and we get tired. We wonder sometimes if God cares for us. He is so far above us, and we're so insignificant in comparison with him. But St. Paul tells us, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin." Christ was tempted like we are, yet sin never found anything in him that it could latch onto. But it's also true that we were not tested the way Christ has. Christ endured so much more than we will ever endure, but he did endure what we endure. He knows what we're going through. He knows what it's like to struggle as we do, and he understands our struggles better than we do ourselves. He's not some distant God who holds us up to standards without any idea of how difficult it is to be in our place. If you have ever worked in a job where you had a supervisor who had never done the work that you're doing and was demanding that you do certain things, you probably didn't feel like that supervisor really understood what you were going through, whereas if you had a supervisor who actually had been in your position and you knew that they understood your job, you really did have that sense, and usually you could tell that they had a lot more compassion on you because they had been in that place. Well, Christ has been in our place. He became one of us, and he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He understands our weaknesses, and he's full of love and compassion for us. There was a black preacher in Atlanta by the name of Dr. C.J. Johnson. And in the 60s, he became nationally known as a gospel singer, not because he was singing new material, but because he was singing the old spirituals, usually a cappella, in the old style of the black church. And many of these spirituals he remembered his grandmother singing. He was raised by his grandmother because his mother died when he was a boy. And he said he would come home sometimes and he would see his grandmother with her apron in her hands, wiping away the tears and crying. And he would say, "Grandma, why are you crying?" And she would say, "Son, you just go on living and you'll find out by and by." Of course, he didn't understand at the time, but later on he did. She didn't pour out her troubles to her grandson because he wouldn't have understood. But she did pour out her troubles to Christ because she knew that she had a Savior who did know and did understand. She didn't have to explain how it was to him and have the sense that he wouldn't know what it was. Because we have a great high priest who understands our weaknesses and paid the debt for our sins that we could never pay, St. Paul then goes on to tell us, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because of what Christ has done for us, he's given us the power to come boldly before the Father and to ask for grace and mercy to help us in our struggle against sin and all of our daily struggles that we go through in life. And you might wonder, how do we do that? How do we come boldly before the throne of grace? Well, we do that in our daily prayers. We do that in our prayers at home throughout the day. But we also do that in the service of the church. You're doing that right now when you come here and you come to church to pray. And you can do so boldly, believing that God desires to give you that mercy and grace. He's not reluctant to give it to you. As Christ tells us in the Gospels, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? We have a loving Father who wants to give us the grace and mercy and forgiveness that we need. So if we keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking, we'll receive those things that we ask for that are for our salvation. We'll find the grace and mercy we are seeking, and the doors of the kingdom of heaven will be open unto us. Amen.